I don't know if it was 6 or 8 or what, many years ago, we met, I think, in one of the other mobile classrooms, and I led a teaching on centering prayer. Do anybody remember that? Oh, okay. Right. And glad to be here again. And I'd like to talk first about yearly rhythms. It just so happened that a cluster of Jansens have birthdays in February. And so we joined together for a festival this weekend. My twin brother Milton, his son and daughter-in-law. Oh, this is another time. So we got together this weekend, and it's almost become a tradition now that 3 or 4 years in a row, we've had this February festival of birthdays. But also with Milton and his son, Jacob, and daughter-in-law, Tressie, we have formed a team to join in Williamsburg Christian Retreat Center for their annual fundraiser golf tournament. Now, Milton and I aren't very good, but Jacob and Tressie are doing a lot better. And we still had a lot of fun joining that golf tournament to help raise funds for the retreat center. And then if you're football fans, and maybe more than football fans, Super Bowl weekend is an annual festival. For baseball fans, pitchers and catchers start spring training this week. And for those who live in Florida and Arizona, there's both, let's see, the Cactus League and the Grapefruit League. That too is a annual rhythm to go through spring training. And then it culminates in the fall with the World Series. Not to mention the rhythm of the school year. I still feel like I want to get a new tablet and a new pen or colors when every time September comes around. Or we could talk about the rhythms of the commercial year, but I won't go into that. As Christians, there's the annual rhythm of Advent, Christmas, Epiphany. And I'll have to just say something. I'm going to a new church now in Harrisonburg, and they have a very special service in January where they have memorized the scripture about the coming of the wise men to worship the Christ child. They have both memorized the scripture, people both young and old, as well as there are two people that sing special music. And I was just so moved by that Epiphany service. They have made that a tradition that every year they will celebrate Epiphany. And on the 22nd, another part of the Christian church year in some church is Lent. And then Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and of course, Easter morning. And then we come to what we read this morning, the birthday of the church at Pentecost. Well, like the Sankofa bird reaching back to the past, before that day of Pentecost in the book of Acts, in ancient Israel, there are 3 great festivals every year. Passover, Pentecost was the second one, and then in the early fall, another harvest festival, there was the festival of the Feast of Booths. And I don't know if you have any Jewish friends who still celebrate the Feast of Booths. They erect these little temporary shelters to live in for a week. Well, from Acts 2, I guess a subtitle to my sermon, I have Pentecost in the Pentateuch. 2 technical words for Pentecost actually means 50 days after Passover. Passover was a very sober remembering of the time in Egypt when God had instructed the Israelites to have a sacrificial lamb and to put a little bit of blood from the lamb on the lintel of the doorpost, and then the angel of death would pass over and they were spared. But for the Egyptians, both of their families as well as from their stock, they lost their firstborn. So it's a sober remembering in the Passover festival. Pentecost, on the other hand, was a harvest festival right after harvesting the wheat and the barley. Now, how many of you come from farming background would know about harvesting wheat and barley? But that was always the first fruits of the growing season. And so sometimes Pentecost was called the Day of First Fruits. Later on, from the past, after the Babylonian exile, the fall of the temple and the Babylonian exile, Pentecost became a time to celebrate the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. So it was that association with Mount Sinai, with the giving of the law. And so in Acts 2, it says, and when the day of Pentecost had come, this came at both in terms of the rhythm of the year for Jewish people. It was supposed to be a joyous time, like we sang in that first song, a joyous time. But it came at a significant transition. Jesus, their teacher, their savior and Lord, had ascended to heaven and had physically departed. They must wonder, how are we going to do this as followers of Jesus? And so it was a transition from being disciples or students of Jesus to being teachers, witnesses, and apostles, which means sent ones. Notice how there are two results of the Spirit's outpouring. And I love the song that you had to start the service here about the Spirit. Now, that was talking about the Spirit moving at creation. Now, here in Pentecost, there's this outpouring of the Spirit. And it says, verse 4 says, then they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. And that is what is usually emphasized when we celebrate Pentecost in the Christian church, is especially given tongue or language to speak. However, notice how in verse 6 it says, each one heard them speaking in their own language. And we probably could have added, as the spirits that gave them the ability to hear, not only the ability to speak, but the ability to hear. Remember that in Romans 10:17 it says, so faith cometh from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Also, to a Jewish audience, all of them would have known Shema Israel. That's the Hebrew word for hear, O Israel. And Jewish people would always say the Shema Israel as the centerpiece of both their morning and evening prayers. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Yahweh is our God. Yahweh is one. And they would recite that both in the morning and the evening. And in later Jewish tradition, on little pieces of parchment, they would write the Shema on a little piece of parchment and put it as a mezuzah on their doorposts. Has anyone ever heard of the mezuzah on the doorpost? Again, from Deuteronomy 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. So the Spirit's outpouring at Pentecost was greater than the festival of wheat and barley harvest. It is both the speaking and the hearing of God's great deeds of power. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's saving actions. Hallelujah. The Spirit's outpouring. And verse 12 then says, and all the audience was amazed and perplexed. And what does this mean? Well, Peter, again, filled with the Spirit, answers the question like the Sankofa bird. The Spirit helps him remember some golden verses from the prophet Joel. Oh, he says, this is what this means. What something in the present, that the past can interpret what's happening in the present. In the last days will be, God declares, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit. So Peter is looking back to the golden words of the prophet. So I'm going to do a Sankofa thing and reach back to another memory in the Pentateuch. Now, the Pentateuch is just a technical term for the first five books of the Bible. In fact, the Jewish people say their Torah is made up of the law, the prophets, and the writings. But to them, the law was the most important part of Hebrew scripture. And so we had the reading of Exodus 35 to 30. This too is a golden memory to me. I hadn't read Exodus for a while. And when I stumbled upon this winter, I was so delighted to see this text. This outpouring of the Spirit also comes at a time of a major transition for the people of God. They had been delivered from slavery in Egypt, and they had covenanted with God at Mount Sinai and the giving of the Ten Commandments, but they were not yet in the Promised Land. The people were living in temporary shelters, tents in the wilderness, and they were fed with provisional food, manna from heaven. They were not yet organized as a nation. So while in this 40-year transition, God gives Moses a blueprint for a temporary sanctuary, just like you have here, a temporary sanctuary, a mobile worship center, and for them, a movable tabernacle. And it says that Exodus says they moved through the wilderness in stages. And whenever they would go to move, the Spirit would lead them. And it was the Levites that would help to take apart, disassemble the tabernacle, and would lead the people away to the next stage of them. And then they would reassemble their tabernacle again, the place of worship. Well, in this context in the middle of the wilderness, in the middle of the desert, we have this story. Both there's the description of the blueprint, and then we have the description of the construction of the tabernacle. And why does Exodus have to tell us all those details twice? It goes into a lot of detail if you ever waded through that part of Exodus. But in the middle of those two, between the blueprint and the construction, is this story about the outpouring of the Spirit. I love this story of Bezalel and Oholiab. How many of you know that those two persons as Bible character, as Bible heroes? Bezalel and Oholiab. Verse 31 again. For God has filled Bezalel with divine spirit, with skill, intelligence, knowledge of every kind, to devise artistic designs and to work in gold, silver, and bronze, and in cutting stones for setting in, and carving word of every, and in every kind of craft. And he was inspired to teach both him and Oholiab from the tribe of Dan. And he filled them, God filled them with every skill, with skill of every kind to do the work done by the artisan or by the designer or by the embroiderer. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, how can former slaves who for many years in Egypt had only made bricks out of mud and straw finally have artisan and craftsman skills? There were no universities in that wilderness. There were no technical colleges to teach skills. Where did these former slaves suddenly know how to do all of this? There was a Pentecost in the Pentateuch, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit to give them that. Thursday night before coming here, a friend invited me to go along with them. I'm still getting acquainted with Harrisonburg, and the local high school was putting on this musical. Everyone heard of Newsies? Broadway musical. I grew up in a small high school, so we didn't have anything like this. But here are six teachers. There is the director, the choreographer, the vocal director, the pit orchestra conductor, the assistant director, and the backstage coordinator. These are all the faculty people that had skill to teach others. I was so blown away by that performance of that thing. It's a story about the Newsies were the paper boys back in Teddy Roosevelt time. This is again going back and recapturing a golden moment. And when the publishers decide to, the way they distributed the papers that time, the Newsies or the newspaper boys would buy newspapers wholesale, and then they would go out on the street, and then they would charge a little bit more, and that's how they made money. Well, the publisher decided that their circulation was starting to drop, so they decided to raise the price that they were charging the Newsies. And these children decided, that's not fair. And they go on a strike. So that's the story about this time. Well, the dancing, and for someone who grew up Mennonite and says, my church doesn't believe in dancing, the choreography and the dancing and the singing of those high school students was so fantastic. I couldn't even go to sleep until midnight, because it was such an inspired performance. So even though that wasn't a church setting, I really felt like the Holy Spirit was poured out on that high school as they learned to do that together. A lot of time we celebrate the sports or other kind of things, but how often do we celebrate the drama arts or the visual arts? And here was the drama arts that was so many. And so I guess to me that was an example of Bezalel and Oholiab, just in the name of teachers, teachers and students who were learning to use God-given skills. When I received Tamara Gary's email about coming here this weekend, she wrote, "As you may be aware, as a church, we are in a time of transition. Pastor John Day's 16-year tenure has come to an end, and we are in a time of change as we remodel our church building. We have settled into this next chapter of our faith and life with a mixture of grief. We miss John and his family, and excitement as we open our hearts to the new thing that God wants to do in our shared life together. It's in times of transition the Holy Spirit pours out his love to us." I believe the story of Bezalel and Oholiab is a golden memory that we need to reach back and grab, and as we face an uncertain future. Even as you worship in this temporary sanctuary, and even as you seek for new pastoral leadership, God is eager, like the song we said, to pour out skills and abilities to carry you through this time. Those who recruit Sunday morning speakers, those who carry on the planning of worship and Christian year education, and for the remodeling of your church building. Think of all the skills and abilities of people who will help to do that. The craftsmen, the carpenters, the plumbers, the electricians, the painters, et cetera. So I share this these scriptures with you as a word of hope and encouragement that God is eager to pour out his Spirit on you. Let it be so.